to Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9, and we'll read some verses there. The song they sang was about taking the yoke of the Lord Jesus, and of course, the scriptures that Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," and over in Matthew chapter number 11. But I want to try to preach this morning out of Luke chapter number 9, and these are some very precious scriptures to me this morning, and you pray for me as I try to preach, and I certainly would appreciate that. We want to remember, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. Sister Judy's sick this morning. Dad, he's been sick all week. I appreciate your prayers for him. And Brother Rodney, we miss him. He's had a cough and things, and might be missing some others. I don't want to fail to mention anybody, but let's remember these in the church that would love to be with us today but are not able. Let's remember them in our prayers. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57 down through the end of the chapter, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. The Bible said, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the many blessings you've given to us today and for the opportunity to be in thy house. Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, we are so privileged. Lord, we are so blessed. God, I pray and ask and hope today that we don't take our situation in life for granted. Lord, I realize today that there are literally millions of people around the world that, Lord, even if they wanted to, they wouldn't have a church to go to. Even if they knew the glorious things about the gospel that we know, they wouldn't have a preacher that'd come and tell them. But God, we're so blessed where we live, and Lord, the churches that we have, and God, the privilege of hearing the gospel and being saved by thy marvelous grace. God, please help us not to take it for granted. Help us, Lord, to do all we can in our power and beyond and above our power to make sure that we are doing all we can to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. And Lord, help us to be light here. God, there's people that are lost, Lord, within the sounding distance of the church this morning that need to be saved, all up and down these hills and in these valleys and in town. Lord, people that don't know you and the free pardon of sin, God, we pray for them. Lord, there might even be somebody here this morning that's never been saved. I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation. Lord, help us in our lives to follow you and be what you'd have us to be. Lord, we pray especially for Brother Bill this morning as he's over at Vanderpool, him and Sister Sharon, and he's preaching over there today. God, I pray you'd help him in a very real way. Help us now, we pray. Speak to our hearts, stir in our midst. Give us revival for thy honor and thy glory. We'll thank you, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. I said to begin with that this is a scripture that's very near and dear unto my heart. And the reason for that is because when I surrendered to preach on a Wednesday night, is October the 10th, 1990, I stood up and I tried to read Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 62. I've already told you before, and I don't know that I'm apologizing for it, but I'll just say it like this. I have done a lot of reminiscing over the past month or 2 months because October was 20 years for me in the ministry, and so that's about half my life, and to me that's a big deal. But I don't boast in that this morning. I thank God for it this morning, but I've taken that time and I've done a lot of thinking. I've done a lot of thinking back on what God has done for me in the past 20 years and sort of went down memory lane. And the messages I preached in October have been along the lines, probably had a lot to do with preaching and surrendering and dedication. And it's good in our lives to always think in our lives that to not think that we've arrived, but to examine ourselves, as the Bible says, and make sure that we're sound in the faith and make sure that we're on the right path in our lives and that we're doing what God has called us to do. So I've done some traveling down memory lane, I guess. I've thought back. I've preached some messages along those lines. And the Lord led me to this scripture for this morning. And as I've already said, I stood up and I tried to read. I was never growing up. I was always shy. I was always backwards. I was never one to get up and talk in front of the class or to make a speech or to read a report or anything. To do something like that just killed me because I was so shy. To place my own order when we'd go out to eat, I'd turn red. I'd do without a refill just because I was too embarrassed to ask. I mean, I was shy. And so even when I stood up and surrendered to preach, it just barely come out of my mouth. I just was not used to talking in front of people. But I stood up and read Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and I tried to tell the church that this was my desire, was to follow Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And that was my goal then, and it's my goal now. And God has given us some glorious experiences in following Him these past 20 years. I surrendered to preach in the country of England, and we followed the Lord back to North Carolina and preached here and pastored several years, and God sent us out to Idaho, and we went out there and meant to spend the rest of our lives out there. That's the mindset that we went with, but after a few years, God led us back here, so we followed Him back to North Carolina. And there's nothing special about me this morning. I'm no super saint or anything like that. I just am what I am by the grace of God, and I'm glad He saved me many, many years ago, and He saved me, and He called me to preach, and He has guided us and gifted us and provided for us, and it is all because of His amazing grace. But I'm thankful that many years ago I surrendered to that call to follow Him. That's what I want to preach on this morning, and that's what these verses of Scripture are dealing with. They're dealing with the subject of following Him. It'd be good for us to ask ourselves the question this morning, are we following Him? Verse number 57 has to do with following Him. It said, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And in verse number 59, Jesus looked at somebody else and he said, verse 59, "And he said unto another, follow me." And verse number 61, "And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell." So this passage of Scripture is about following the Lord Jesus. And in verse number 62, Jesus sums it up by saying, "No man," this is what He's saying there, "if you're going to follow me, you need to know this. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, that is not saying that we follow the Lord to be saved or to stay saved. In order to follow the Lord, you first have to be saved. You need to know that you know Him. Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus at night, and Nicodemus thought that he had been following the Lord. And I mean, he was a rabbi, he was a teacher, he taught the Scriptures, he knew all these things about God, and he came and he thought he had some questions for the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus had something to tell him. He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so Nicodemus knew a whole lot about the Lord, but he had never been born again. You have to be born again if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus. And so he told him about being what we refer to as being saved. And that's a good Bible terminology. But we talk about being saved. We talk about being born again. We talk about having a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a birth. There has to be a starting place for those that would follow him. But after we're saved, we definitely need to follow him. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep. Are you one of his sheep today? If you are one of his sheep, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you need to ask yourselves the question. We need to ask ourselves, are we following him? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It is natural for the sheep to follow the shepherd. We ought to want to follow him. We ought to want to hear his voice. And whatever his voice, wherever his voice leads us, that ought to be the way that we want to go in this morning. So I want to point out some things from this passage of Scripture. First of all, there is the perception of following him. Or maybe a good way to put it this morning would be the misperception of following him, because there are many funny ideas out there of what it really means to follow the Lord Jesus. I mean, a lot of people have a warped view of what it means to really follow the Lord. I found a book several years ago. I never had the book. I seen the title of the book, and I forget now where I saw it, but I'd like to have the book if I ever found it again. Don't ask me to say that again. But the name of the book is The Hard Sayings of Jesus. I'd like to find that, or if anybody ever runs across it, I don't even know if it's in print. But I thought a whole lot about that. I picked it up, read the front, read the back, and I didn't get it, wished I would have. But there's some hard sayings of the Lord Jesus. There's some things that Jesus says in the Bible that if you read them and take them at face value, and we should always do that, it'll make you step back and say, "Boy, that's hard." And we find some of those things here. We find that there were some people that had a misperception about following him. First of all, in verses 57 and 58, some people think it will be a life of ease if they follow the Lord Jesus. Oh, this will be easy. This will be this. And look in verse 57, the Bible said, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And so we see here, and I believe that this gentleman thought that to follow the Lord Jesus, I know they didn't have TV in those days, but if they did, I would say he'd probably been watching TV. And probably seen some of these fellas on there that all the ritz and the glitz and the glamour and all the promises of health, wealth, and all of the, you know, if you follow Jesus, you're just going to be blessed and you're going to be wealthy and you're going to have possessions out here, name it and claim it. Or maybe he had seen some of the religious leaders and all around the community. But Jesus knows our hearts. And you don't have to really have a great big long conversation here to find out, or to, if you understand that Jesus knows our heart, and you see the answer that Jesus gave to this gentleman that said, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest," I believe that that fellow thought it would be a life of ease, and Jesus wanted him to know up front, let me tell you something, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I believe Jesus told him that so that he would realize right off the bat that it might not be as easy as he thought it would. That fella had a home to go to on that night, but if he really followed the Lord Jesus and went after him, he needed to know he'd better bring his blanket. He'd better bring his candle with him, because he may have to be sleeping out under the stars that night. He said, "I don't even have a home to go home to. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. The foxes have holes, the birds have airs, but the birds have nests to put into and all of these things, but you may not even have. Following the Lord Jesus is not necessarily a life of ease. You may not be praised and applauded in all of these things. You're going to have trials and tribulation in this life if you follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody is going to go through that. We look at people sometimes. Let me tell you something this morning. Just because somebody has a trial in their life doesn't necessarily mean that they have sin in their lives. Many good people who love God and follow Him and try to do right and raise their families right and live for God, they have trials and trouble and tribulation in their lives. Don't think just because you follow God that you're not going to have any trouble. You're going to have trouble. I've heard Preacher Carl say it many, many times. If you've not had trouble, just wait around. It'll get to knocking on your house one of these days, and you and I are going to have trouble. It is not going to be just a life of ease and comfort and all of these things. If you follow Jesus, you're going to have troubles in this life. Just don't be surprised when they come. Don't be derailed from following the Lord Jesus Christ when they come. Do you know a lot of people, they quit following God when trials come? That's the time you need Him the most. And that is the time when you will really, really begin to understand in your life what grace means. It's easy for us to talk about grace and faith and mercy and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, but do you know what? A lot of times we don't really even experience or know what that is until we get down in the deep, dark, troublesome, lonely, sad valleys of life. It's there when He's the most precious and when He's the most real. I love to be on the mountaintop just as much as anybody else, but it's in the valleys when He's the most precious. It's in the valleys where you really learn what the lily of the valley is all about. And how precious He is and how close He is. Jesus said in John chapter number 16, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Always remember that. Yes, trials and tribulation and sorrow and heartache and pain and disappointments and all of these things are going to come. But thank God there's one that is in control. There's one that'll be with you in all the hard times, in all the trials, in all the heartaches and all of those things. And Jesus wanted this boy to know, this man, this gentleman to know that it's not necessarily going to be a life of ease. Some think it'll be a life of ease. Some think there will be no sacrifice involved. Look in verse number 59. The Bible said, "And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Now, I've got it underlined in my Bible. He said, "Suffer me first." There's the first mistake. And you may not realize, first time I ever read this, I thought, well, poor fella, you know, his dad just died. But the more I got studying into this gentleman, what he's saying to the Lord Jesus is, "Let me go home and live there until my father dies, and then bury him, and then I will come and follow you. Let me first go." You know, there's a lot of people in life think that, oh, they'll follow the Lord Jesus whenever they want to, however they want to, and they'll do whatever they want to. It is not an easy thing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it involves sacrifice on our part. Let me rephrase that. Not sometimes. It will involve sacrifice on our part. I would be lying to you today if I didn't say over the years that we've followed and served the Lord Jesus Christ that there's not been some times where sacrifice on our part has been made, had to have been made. Probably the hardest thing we ever done was to sell our house that we had built and our land there and load up everything we had and put it on a U-Haul and a travel trailer and things of that and leave her friends and her family and our church family and our familiar surroundings and all of those things and go and move out to the state of Idaho. That was a sacrifice. It really was. It's not above reasonable service that we done that. I like Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Nothing the Lord Jesus asked out of you and I is above reasonable service, because He, as a rich man, came and died upon the cross to pay our sin debt. We being poor and unable to pay our sin debt, He paid the debt. He canceled it on our behalf. If we'd have lived a million years and lived for Him, we'd only get deeper in debt. He came and paid our sin debt on Calvary so that you and I could be saved. And so it is only reasonable that we would come, seeing that we could never pay Him off for what He's done, just to come and say, Lord, I'll just live for you. And whatever you want in my life, that's what I'll do. That is just reasonable service, taking into account what He has done for us. And others have sacrificed far, far more than I've ever even thought about sacrificing. There's people that have went to serve in foreign lands. And somebody, I had a book several years ago about a missionary group that went to Papua New Guinea, and the natives there killed some of the missionaries. They were cannibals, and some of those people that originally went down there, and a man's husband was killed, and by the natives there, they didn't want them there, but some of those same missionaries came back. Wouldn't any of us say, nobody expects you to go back down there? But they were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to sacrifice. What would you be willing to do this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ if He asked you? Sacrifice will be involved. Others think that you can follow on your own terms. Verse number 61, the Bible said, and another also said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first, there it is again. Let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Others think you can just follow when you want to. I'll follow you, Lord. This is what this man said. But let me first go home. Let me round everybody up and have a big farewell. Let me spend some time and go around to all my neighbors and tell them all bye and all of these things. You know, time, what we are doing as Christians this morning, time is of the essence. When I was in the military, in the church that God called me to preach in, there was, I don't even remember how many preachers called out of that church. And I think back 20 years ago, many of those men were quite a bit older than I was at that time. And some of them the Lord called to preach, and you'd ask them, you know, what are you going to do? And a lot of them would say, well, as soon as I retire. Is there the time of? I've heard people say that before. When I retire, I want to do this. I want to do that. If somebody's not serving the Lord right now and God has got something for them to do, I doubt if they'll do much when they get way out there in the future somewhere. Jesus said in John 9:4, He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. You see, the work that we have to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, time is of the essence. Because some people are going to die before we get to the place where we feel like we'll finally be able to serve the Lord and do what He wants us to do. One of the most famous messages that has ever been preached in this country, I remember even reading about it in English class when I was in school, and it was by Jonathan Edwards, and he preached a message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he preached out of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 35, where the Bible says, in due time their foot shall slide. And he preached in that message about people sitting in the congregation on that very day who were sliding into hell as he preached. Time is of the essence. People are dying. Not one of us today has a promise of tomorrow. Our neighbor, somebody that God has put on our heart to try to win to the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't know when's the last time we'll ever see them, the last time we'll ever speak to them. In what we do, time is of the utmost importance, and the call to serve and follow the Lord Jesus Christ is a call that He expects us to follow now, not sometime out there in the future. I've heard people say, when I retire. I've heard people say, when my children are grown. I've heard people say, when we get this paid for and that paid for and all of those things. But time is of the essence. And this gentleman, he said that's what he wanted. I want to first go do some other things. I read in my Bible in Genesis chapter number 24 where Abraham's servant went down and found Rebekah to come and to marry Isaac. And they wanted to have a great big send off and for it to take a whole lot of time. And the servant there, if you read it when you get home in Genesis chapter number 24, he said, no, she needs to come now. And they left it up to her. And I like that answer. She said, I will go. I'll go now. She forego. She didn't have all the big send off, which would have been customary for that day. Some people think you can follow on your own terms. You can't do that. First of all, there's the perception or the misperception of following the Lord. And then second of all, I'm going to look back down through this again. There's the people who follow the Lord. There's three types of people here in these verses who will never follow Him. I don't believe that any of these people in this passage of Scripture really followed Him. I believe what we really have is a type of people that won't follow Him. First of all, this morning there's Mr. Big Talker. Mr. Big Talker is in verse 57 and then he is rebuked in verse number 58. Now, this is also mentioned over in the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 8. And it gives just a little bit of a background about what was really going on in the circumstances surrounding this. What we read about in Luke chapter number 9, but in Matthew chapter number 8, I'm just going to read one verse over there, verse number 18. It said, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And then He said there, the foxes have holes and the birds there have nests. But the setting that we find here in Luke chapter number 9, there was great multitudes around. Boy, it's easy to say what you're going to do for God when a whole lot of people are watching. When you think you might get some glory out of it. When you think you might get some praise out of it. And I believe that's how this gentleman was here in verse number 57. He saw all those people standing around. And he made the bold statement, I'll follow you. But we find out he's just a big talker. You know, talk's cheap. It's easy to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. A lot of people do that. When you talk about serving the Lord, and I'm not going to throw stones this morning because I've had some big ideas down through the years. I've not done all of them. But I don't think I've talked about anything that I wanted to do just so I'd get praise out of it or recognition or whatever. But this fella, all the people standing around, and he knew it'd be a big statement to say, I will follow Thee, but the admonition in the Word of God is don't tell me, but show me. Actions speak louder than words. We all know that. What you're going to say and what you're going to do needs to be the same thing. James said this in James chapter 2, verse number 17. He said, I will show thee my faith by my works. But this fella, he's a big talker. Whole lot of people were gathered around and he said, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Big talker. Verse number 59, there's Mr. Good Excuse. We've all got good excuses why we don't do this or why we do this. And verse 59, the Bible said, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Mr. Good Excuse. You know, we would look at this passage of Scripture this morning and say, well, if there's a good excuse, that has to be one. I mean, surely his heart was pure. We don't know. Maybe his father was old and maybe he was near dying. We don't know that. Maybe he was in pretty good health and he just wanted to go home and hang around there until his father did die. We don't know that, but nevertheless, to me, that seems like a pretty good excuse. Lord, I'll follow you. Just let me go home. Soon as my dad dies and passes away and I get him buried, then I'll come and follow you. I mean, if there is a good excuse, that'd have to be a good excuse. Who would fault him for saying that? Jesus did. The Lord did. That was not a good enough excuse for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can offer excuses to the Lord, why we don't do what we know we ought to do, why we're not following Him like we ought to be following Him. But with God, there is no good excuses. Because, you know what? The Lord knows all of our abilities. People come along and they say, well, I can't do that, and I don't have the ability to do this, and somebody else will get... You know, all that's just excuses. God wouldn't ask you to do something that He wouldn't help you do. If anybody could have got out of anything, I think I could have got out of preaching the gospel, because I could have on and on and on talked about how shy and how in growing up and all of these things, and I'm younger than anybody in the class and on and on and on. But what I found out when God was dealing with me, that every excuse that I gave Him just wasn't a good excuse, because He had done so much for me. And His promises are so real. I'll go with you all the way. Even I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He even told Moses, when Moses said, oh Lord, I'm not of good speech, God said, don't worry about it. I'll let Aaron go with you. Took his excuses away. That's how we are. Many times we have excuses. And the best thing I've found out to do in my life when God's laid something on my heart is just to run up the white flag of surrender and say, all right, Lord, if you want me to do this, if you want me to do that, we sing that song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. There's a lot of the songs we sing. I wonder sometimes if it doesn't make liars out of us, because we've not really surrendered all to Him, and our all is not really on the altar many times. But there's Mr. Good Excuse, and in verse number 61, there's Mr. Homebody. The Bible said in verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Mr. Homebody. Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now the Lord intends fully for us to love our family, to love our mother, our father, our grandparents, all of those things. That's not what He's talking about there. I love my family, I really do. But I find I'm called in God's Word to love Him more. I need to love Him more. I need to put Him and His desires and what He wants above and beyond what I want in my life. I do love my family, but I'll love Him more. And whatever He calls me to do, or wherever He calls me to go, or whatever ministry He desires for it, it's His business, not my business. You know, when I went to Forest Grove, I said, Lord, I am happy here. I am satisfied here. I just want to stay here all my life. I'd like to be a pastor that pastors one church and just stays there. And God, that's what I want to do. And I really had a mindset to do that. But there come a time where God said, nope, I want you to do something else. And so God called me to go out west to be a missionary to the state of Idaho and take the Faith Baptist Church out there. And, you know, that's a big step to leave home. Go out there. But we did that. And I said, Lord, we'll make that home. And home can be where my family is. And we'll live there and grow there. And then God sent us back here. But when I went out there, I said, Lord, I want to stay. I'll just stay. I'll live. I'll die. That's what they need. And so, Lord, that's what I'll do. And so the Lord called us back here. And I've not told the Lord, I just want to stay here all my life and don't want to go anywhere else, because that just has backfired on me. And I went to Alaska back in July, and when I had a good time. and seen souls saved. Boy, there's a great need out up there. There's a mission field. My heart goes out to the people there in the Arctic Circle, in the villages, and such a great, great need. And somebody asked me when I come back, said, "You going to go to Alaska?" And I said, "I don't think so, but if God wanted me to, I would." And that really bothered one of my children. I won't say which one. But every time I'd kid about that, they'd say, "I don't like you talking about that." I'm not saying this morning that God has called me to go to Alaska, but I'll say this. If God wanted me to go, I'd go. Because I love Him more. And I want to be found in His will. That ought to be our desire. Not, "Lord, I'll go and do this." See the difference there? Not, "Lord, I'll pastor a church there in North Carolina in the Bible Belt and churches and revivals and all these good things. What if God said, 'No, I want you to go here?'" We ought to say, "Amen. Not my will, but thine be done." But when the roll is called up yonder, and when the books are laid out of what we will receive at the judgment seat of Christ, I really believe with all my heart, it will be astounding how many missed God's very best because they was a Mr. Homebody. There's a lot of missionaries went to the field and had to come home because their wife just couldn't stand it. Or because the missionary couldn't stand it. Had to come home. We get so locked in, tied in to where we were born and raised and land and family and all of these things. We ought to love Him more. That's all I'm saying this morning. Because our real home, our eternal home, is up there on the other side. And that's the home we ought to be living for and longing for and looking to in all of these things. You may say, "Oh, preacher, I don't know about that, or I don't know about this." Jesus said to Peter before He left, He said, "Do you love Me?" That's what matters. "If you love Me, feed My sheep." And He asked him 3 times, "Do you love Me?" And it upset Peter. If you read over there in John chapter number 21, it bothered him that the Lord kept asking him, "Do you love Me? Do you really love Me?" Let me ask you something this morning. Do you love Him? Do you really love Him? Do you love Him more than your family? Do you love Him more than the mountains and all of these things? Y'all love Him first. But Mr. Homebody missed it. There's the perception. Then there's the people. One last thing this morning. There's the perspiration. And this is what I really wanted to get down to in verse number 62. The Bible said, "And Jesus said unto him, 'No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" What He was saying there in verse number 62, He wanted them all to know that following Jesus is like this. This is what it's going to be like. And so He said, He used this illustration of a man putting his hand on the plow and plowing out there in the hot sun in the rough field. And He said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." I've got that word "fit" circled there in my Bible. I think that's key. We need to understand what this is talking about. He said, following Jesus is going to be like this. It's going to be hard work. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 3:1, "If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." There's work involved. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I hear so many times people say, "Oh, I just don't know about the Bible, and there's so much I don't know, and all this stuff." Well, there's no excuse. There's no excuse not to know God's Word. We have too many helps. We have too many resources. I mean, I was sitting the other day, and all I had was my Bible, and I was reading and studying. I had a few minutes, and I was wondering where something was, and I couldn't remember where it was, and I thought, I don't have my computer Bible. If I have my computer Bible, I've got a little Franklin, little computer Bible, about like a pocket calculator, which some of you young people don't even know what that is anymore. But I thought to myself, you think about the old preachers. You think about before concordances and computers and all of these things. How did they find and how did they, boy, I bet it took them a lot of time. They just worked at it. They knew God's word. They had it memorized. They knew where things were because they had their nose in the book. And I finally found it. I knew what book it was, but I didn't know the chapter and the verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Jesus said in Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, now then, we are laborers together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. There's sweat involved. There's the hard work involved. It's a hard work. You think about it, and I've never got behind a plow and following a mule or something like that. I've never done that type of work. But I do know this, it's a hard work. I know it's hard to till the garden. It's bound to be hard to get and run a plow behind an animal if it's hard to till. And it's easier when you let that thing down in the ground a little farther. I did learn that one time. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It'll run you to death. You got to get the plow down in the ground. It's hard work. It's lonely work. This is not work that 10 men do. This is work that 1 man does. It's a lonely work. We have the picture of the plowman out in the field behind the plow, and he's working and sweating all day in the hot sun and laboring there in the field. It's like Psalms 126 and verse 6 where it talks about the sower going out to sow. That's a work that a man does. It's a lonely work sometimes. And that's what we have here. I have thought a whole lot about this. You don't think a thing when somebody stops by your house to visit. You don't think very much of it. But when we lived out in Idaho, we had some people come visit us. We relish those times. I remember Preacher Greg and Gina come out to see us one time, and Dad and Lynette came out one time to see us, and Mom came out one time, and we had different people who had come from back home to visit. And more than one time we stood out in the yard when they left and waved and cried. And our children cried. You think about all the missionaries around the world this morning that are out somewhere away from home that are working and laboring and lonely. And lonely. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. You young people, you need to give your lives to God. Do what He wants you to do. And follow where He wants you to go, and it'll be all right. Now, if you's a ball player, boy, you get the praise and adoration of the whole town. Somebody told me that the Giants had a pitcher from Caldwell County. I don't even know who it is. But he was pitching in the World Series or in the playoffs a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, I'm going to watch that, just like I knew him. I can't even remember his name this morning. He's from home. But you think about all the preachers from North Carolina that are out all around the world, and nobody even knows that they're out there. You be a ball player, or even in the military, you get some recognition for going away and coming back. But think of all those involved in the work of the Lord that nobody pays no attention to. Can be a lonely work, and it's an intense work. You think about it in verse number 62, and I'm almost done. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That is a job that you have to keep your eye, you have to keep your mind on what you're doing. You cannot let it wander. I remember when I was little and we'd help my grandpa Greer lay off the garden, and what the way he would do it, he would put a stake or something on the other side. And you know, he always got to run the layoff plow. That's when you don't have a horse, you just do it by yourself. And he'd say, now see that stake out there? You keep your eye on it and you go straight to it, and your row will be straight. And he put a lot of emphasis on the rows being straight. But you got to keep your eye on something. You got to keep your eye on a fixed object out there. And so Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow, here's a man, he's plowing. What if he's looking off other places? He's going to have crooked rows. He's going to get into the other row that he's just done. He's going to make a mess of his work. So you can't look back and keep straight. And no man having looking back, having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I am so glad this morning. You know, if I would have stayed in the military, I could have retired 3 years ago. About. But I'm glad that I'm not looking at retiring. I'm more excited about God's work and what the Lord's doing. And I still feel like I'm young in this thing of the Lord's work. And it's exciting to be living for Him and doing what He wants us to do this morning. It is a intense work, but it's a rewarding work this morning. Galatians 6:9 said, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for that for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There is satisfaction in the work of the Lord. And so the Lord Jesus said, you need to know this. If you're going to follow me, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what that means? It doesn't mean they're not going to go to heaven, but it means they're not fit to go. They're not fit. There's a lot of people out here in the world today. They're saved. No doubt. They know if they died, they know they've been born again, but they're not really fit to live because they're not serving God, and they're not really fit to die. That's as close as a child of God will get to being in a state of limbo. Just not living for Him. Not ready to live. Not ready to die. Jesus said, come and follow me. And come take up your cross and follow me. I preached on that a couple of Sundays ago. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.